Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Accolades Conversations, in which I talk to some of my favorite artists about who or what they would recommend me checking out. In episode 28, I'm talking to another person that I had the pleasure of working with. Juice Salim is a rapper from Birmingham, England. After putting years of energy into the Birmingham hip-hop scene, Juice's Ghetto Grammar freestyle rap session started, featuring such other future stars as Ty, Skinny Man, and MPHO. In 1996, Will Ashen started his new Ninja Tune-backed label Big Data and planned a roster of performers. Bandit of Birmingham's MCI Asylum crew told Ashen about Aleem. Ashen was impressed with the music and agreed to have Juice on board. This resulted in the first release of the now iconic record label. I'm talking to Juice Aleem about Divine Styler, an alternative hip-hop artist from Brooklyn, New York, who first emerged as a part of Ice-T's Rhyme Syndicate. His first LP, Word Power, was hailed by critics and fans, but was not a commercial success. His second album, the wildly experimental Spiral Walls Containing Autumns of Light, also failed to sell well. In 1998, Divine Styler hooked up with the Quantum Records crew, teaming up with his dear friend and fellow Rhyme Syndicate alumni Everlast, Styles of Beyond, and the Beat Junkies. This is what Juice Aleem had to add.
The main reason is not only a brilliant artist, but he was one of the people that changed my writing as far as the complexity and the depth. I always thought people wouldn't understand. And then he had a particular song called Ain't Saying Nothing, which used these great big words to sort of not say anything while also within the verses, he was saying a hell of a lot. And I always thought that was almost like the true meaning of the word irony placed into a song. And also it increased my writing. His word usage was incredible. On the first album, Word Power, it's just phenomenal. And he had a song called Tongue of Labyrinth. And the way he rhymed on it, the way the words continued, it changed me as far as being a still up-and-coming MC who was doing little things, but I hadn't put any songs out as of yet. I was writing, freestyling, hanging out. Anytime groups of friends got together, you'd be busting rhymes and sharing and freestyling and battling each other. But I didn't have any music out for like another 8 years or so, but he was my launch pad basically.
Was he responsible for his own beats as well?
A lot of them, not entirely. So the earlier stuff was with Bilal Bashir and people like that was doing production that was down with Rhyme Syndicate. And then he did more of his own production later on from the second album onwards. But now he's definitely a full-fledged producer. He ended up doing a remix for New Flesh for Old, Eye of the Hurricane, which was amazing because he's rhyming in the back.
I remember there's like a couple of like housey dance tracks on there as well, right?
Or yeah. Which was being done a lot at the time. Obviously, Jungle Brothers got famed for it, but then anyone from Queen Latifah to Kid and Play would have housey kind of things on there. Well, with Kid and Play particularly, they went with Washington Go-Go. Another great example of that would be Lakim Shabazz's first album, Pure Righteousness. But even the house sounded more sincere than a lot of people, because I was into house as well at the time. That was a big deal in the UK, and a lot of people would also know some of these songs, the Divine and his the Lakim Shabazz tune, through house. They didn't know the rappers, they just knew the track as something that would come on in the midst of a two-hour house and techno set. So when Divine was experimenting with these things, it sounded totally natural.
Wasn't he part of Quantum Projects or something like that?
I don't know that he was part of Quantum in that sense. He may have done things in collaboration with them. There's something about that sounds right. One of the last things I heard of him doing was with Everlast and Sick Jackin and all them. So he was doing a whole collaborative thing with them, but doing more production rather than rhyming.
Thanks, Juice, for this conversation. I remember very clearly finding Word Power in Kassel in a very small record store about 15 years ago, and I was so happy with the found. It's a true classic and one of the first experimental hip-hop records to ever exist. Next week, I'm going to be talking to Al Jackson about his friend Hannibal Buress. Thanks for listening.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.